the successor to the Habsburg emperors, having taken Vienna, was free to remove the ancient weapon from its faded red velvet dice behind the protecting glass case. You want a little more color? Huh? The bell of the royal chapel of the Habsburg emperors rang out to celebrate the German annexation of Austria and its incorporation in the Third Reich. Crowds filled the ring and lined both sides of the entire length of the Ringstrasse to welcome the German Führer to Vienna, the capital city of his homeland. The picked troops of Keitel's 8th Army Group and the tanks of Guderian's vaunted Panzer Division, which had crossed the border into Austria 2 days previous, were now assembled before the huge reviewing stand immediately in front of the ancient Hofburg. All awaited the arrival of the man who had once tramped the pavements of the ancient imperial city as a vagabond, unwashed and empty-bellied. Adolf Hitler crossed the frontier to drive through decorated villages on his way to Linz, where he had once lived and attended school. In Linz, he awaited the arrival from Vienna of the Reichsfuhrer SS Heinrich Himmler to confirm that his well-laid plans to secure the Spear of Longinus had been successful and that a guard of picked stormtroopers were standing guard over it at the treasure house of the Hofburg. His fears that this talisman of world historic destiny might evade his grasp at the last moment, in the same manner as it had eluded the clutches of Napoleon, were now abated. Yet, fearing an assassination attempt like that of Frederick Stapps on the person of the French emperor in the grounds of the Habsburg Summer Palace, Hitler delayed his entry into Vienna for a further day so that additional security measures could be taken to protect him. With excitement reached to a fever pitch, or while excitement reached fever pitch at Hitler's unexpected announcement of a total Anschluss, and the SS rounded up thousands of known and potential anti-Nazis, Adolf Hitler visited Leonding to place a wreath on his mother's grave. Adolf Hitler was to tell the Burgermeister of Vienna, quote, "Be assured that this city, in my eyes, is a pearl. I will bring it into a setting which is worthy of it." Yet nothing could have been further from the truth. Resenting his treatment in those early years, he was determined to reduce the ancient imperial city to the status of a provincial town and Austria itself to the position of the most insignificant German satellite. The people who rejected him and condemned him in his youth to a starved and miserable gutter life must now pay the price for their mistake. While Hitler was driven down the Ringstrasse to the ring and onto the Heldenplatz to the reviewing stand in front of Hofburg, the tumultuous jubilation of the crowds reached near delirium. How could the citizens of Vienna have known that the ecstasy on the face of Adolf Hitler was the twisted ecstasy of revenge? The blasphemous spirit of Friedrich Nietzsche must have choked with glee as Adolf Hitler broadcast the greatest deception of his life to his new and unsuspecting subjects. Quote, "I felt the call of providence had come to me. In 3 days the Lord has smitten them, Nicholas, Schofsnig, and those others who have dared to resist him, and to me the grace was given on the day of the betrayal to be able to unite my homeland to the Reich. I would give thanks to him who let me return to my homeland in order that I might now lead it to the German Reich. Tomorrow may every German recognize the hour and measure its import and bow in humility before the Almighty, who in a few weeks has wrought such a miracle upon us." After that hypocritical statement, and after reviewing the assembled ranks of the Austrian SS and granting permission for the founding of a new SS regiment, Der Führer, Adolf Hitler refused an invitation to make a grand tour of the city in which he had once frequented the flophouses. He left the ring to drive directly to the Imperial Hotel, where the most luxurious suite in the city awaited him. Arrangements for a civic dinner and reception were canceled, while Hitler, still terrified that an attempt would be made to kill him, remained in his closely guarded suite. It was long after midnight when he left the Imperial Hotel in the company of Heinrich Himmler to make the long-awaited visit to the Weltliche Schatzkammer to claim the Spear of Destiny as his own personal possession. Long after midnight. Awaiting him at the Hofburg were Wolfram von Sievers, head of the Nazi Occult Bureau, Major Walter Buch, Nazi legal expert and chief of the USCHLA, and Ernst Kaltenbrunner, SS Führer, Austria. All three, along with Reinhard Heydrichs, had played a separate role in helping to secure the spear for him. Von Sievers, responsible to Himmler for organizing academic research into the history of the Heilige Lance, had arrived in Vienna several days before the Anschluss to ensure that the talisman of power was not removed from the city. Confidential dossiers had been made on all personnel connected with the Hofburg, from the director and his archivist down to the most humble attendants. You know what I think is an absolute crime? You can study history, and nobody will tell you the importance that this played in Hitler's life. When German troops first crossed the border into Austria, President Miklas had given orders that special reinforcements of police should be set to cordon off the inner city, and that protection should be given to all government buildings, including the Hofburg. When the police arrived outside the Hofburg, they were met by determined ranks of black, uniformed SS, fully armed and determined to brook no interference. The keys of the treasure house, the equivalent of the chamber in the Tower of London where the crown jewels are guarded, had been handed over to the Nazis by defected officials. Ernst Kaltenbrunner himself had appeared on the scene with orders that the SS should open fire rather than concede to the directions of the police. As was the case in every city, town, and village throughout Austria that night, the police gave in to the Nazis, so obviously on the brink of total power. Major Walter Buch, father-in-law to Martin Bormann, and head of the police, was present to arrange the legal takeover of the Reichslinodien, the precious symbols of the ancient German Empire, which included the Heilige Lance. His task was to organize the return of the Spear of Longinus across the German border to Nuremberg. But Walter Buch, an occultist who was responsible for the liquidation of Freemasonry in Nazi Germany, had more than a legal interest in the Spear of Destiny and had been allowed to share Hitler's secret concerning his visions before this talisman of world power. When Hitler entered the treasure house, with Heinrich Himmler and Kaltenbrunner, von Sievers and Walter Buch waited outside with Hitler's aides and members of his personal bodyguard. Shortly afterward, Heinrich Himmler came back down the narrow staircase of the Schatzkammer, leaving the German Führer quite alone. There's no evidence of any kind of what took place during the hour or more after midnight, in those wee hours of the morning, in which Hitler remained in solitude with the talisman of world historic destiny he had now come to make his own personal possession. And it was not until he got it in his hands that he openly turned loose his aim and ambition of world power. There's some other interesting things about here, but the discovery of it, the hiding of it, the group that were to hide it, much like the charge to those that hid the Pillar of Jacob when Hitler was giving such pressure to Britain and they thought it might fall, and sending the secret papers to Canada that told where that stone of Jacob would be hidden. They tried to hide this spear. It became part of the artifacts falling into the hands of the Americans as they took Nuremberg. And Hitler had said and commanded that the greatest fight be done for Nuremberg. It fell into their hands. As it was in the possession of the Americans, none of the American senators who came to post-war Europe in droves, or the senior U.S. generals who traveled to Nuremberg to see the vast display of Nazi loot in the underground bunker in the Oberenschmiedgasse, showed the least interest in the age-old legend of the Spear of Longinus. The only occupation was General Blood and Guts Patton, or the only exception. General Blood and Guts Patton, one of the most colorful characters of World War II. General Patton, who had a historically oriented cast of mind, believed in reincarnation and had made a study of the quest or search for the Holy Grail. He appears to have been totally fascinated at the sight of the Spear of Destiny. Too bad those historians who did Patton, that marvelous movie, didn't throw this little bit in. instead of just making him walk off with his dog. He'd been better off seeing this than riding his white horse around the ring. He took the ancient talisman of power from its leather case and removed the golden sleeve which holds the two separate parts of the spearhead together. What is it in Patton that made him tune into this? The enigmatic soul who stopped off at the height of the battle in Sicily to visit Klingsor's castle at Calatembolet in the heights above Monte Castello demanded the presence of local German historians to fill him in on the entire history of the ancient weapon which was associated with the legend of world power. Patton demanded to know the exact date on which the nail had been inserted and was furious to hear it was not known. I can just hear him cuss him out. He was insufferably rude to the fawning officials who showed such ignorance regarding the passage of the spear through the centuries. Question, were the wing flanges at the base taken from the metal removed to make room for the insertion of the nail, he asked. What kings or emperors had embossed the golden crosses both at the base of the head and on the nail head itself? Age scampered round to find the answers to his countless queries. General Patton was the only American general who realized the true significance of the fact that the USA were now the official possessors of the Spear of Destiny. He knew, too, the terrible significance of the imminent fulfillment of its legend once again. For the United States had discovered the secret of the manufacture of the atom bomb. The dropping of these fearsome weapons upon Japan was expected to bring an immediate end to the war in the East. To the veteran general who still believed in the chivalry of war and would have preferred to fight alongside Hannibal at Italy than against Kesselring in the Ardennes, the atomic age meant the final ending of the era in which the individual still had some significance. While holding the talisman of power in his hands, he told his aides that mankind was standing on the brink of the most evil epoch in the entire history of the planet. Patton left the bunker beneath Nuremberg Fortress in a somber mood. Soldiers from the 3rd Division were standing guard outside. The newly established Austrian government demanded the return of what they called the Habsburg Regalia to Vienna from Nuremberg. The Germans protested the ancient German insignia belonged to them. The Austrian government sent a letter on behalf of their claims. The final decision came from General Dwight Eisenhower, the commander of the Allied armies in Europe. He said bluntly, return the Habsburg Regalia to Austria. The doors of the vault in the Oberen Schmiedgasse were reopened on the 4th of January, 1946, and the imperial treasures were loaded aboard a convoy of jeeps. Under the wary eye of First Lieutenant Albright, arts officer attached to the military government of Nuremberg, the imperial regalia was loaded aboard a Dakota at Firth Airport and flown directly to Vienna. 2 days later, January 6th, General Mark Clark handed over these relics to the Burgermeister of Vienna. It was a short, informal ceremony with no official speeches. As a temporary expedient, the Burgermeister deposited the Habsburg regalia in the vault of the Austrian Postal Savings Bank. Today, the Spear of Longinus is back in the Weltliche Schatzkammer of the Hofburg. The talisman of world historic destiny stands on a faded red velvet dais with an open leather case in exactly the same spot in the treasure house where Adolf Hitler first beheld it in 1909. It's on view to the public from Monday to Saturday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Admission is free. And I'll bet you all my hats that the man who comes up with the peace treaty for Israel, to whom the restored Roman Empire gives its claim, will come into possession. But ironically, it's Patton again, the same Patton who understood the threat of the Russians, who saw the value, understood the meaning, and it's the golfing brilliant Eisenhower who sees no meaning to it in materialistic America. Oh, Christian, sure, but There ain't no devils or demons that sends it back to that realm of the world now dominated by that evil empire, communism. Now, to be so mad as I have been, you see how easy I am? You give me a decent response, I'll even finish something in one night. Oh, there's a lot more about the spear, but you got the gist of it. Now, where was this spear during that period of disappearance? The point that relates to the triangle is, are there supernatural forces at work, good and evil? And are we caught betwixt this ultimate warfare? The book of Revelation, after the church is gone, Michael is released and he casts Satan out of the heavenlies, and the cry is, woe to the earth. His territory is then limited. Now he has the access he had in Job's days. Now, of course, if we could get our budget, I'd get back to these other dangling things in the triangle. Have I bored you tonight?
No, sir.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to let these late night viewers, you know, I don't mind doing a fade in when I'm just teaching. But I don't play games with you. When I'm angry, I'm angry. It's not an act. So I want to honestly tell you what you're going to see is the way I felt 4.5 hours ago. Because I got some response, my mood changed. Now, I want you to remember about this spear. I told you enough. Any of you interested in us putting this in the bookstore? You know, I just read the highlights. Look this up, Mike, and see if we can get some in the bookstore, because I'll refer to the Spear of Destiny on more than one occasion. I don't want you to get lost in the personal philosophies of the author of this book, who is a disciple of some of the mystical tendencies of Rudolf Steiner and others. I think, however, you need to be aware, in preparation for the teaching I'll do on demonology, of the forces that work in this land and the forces over to which Hitler committed himself. And you call him a stupid little painter from Austria?